Shavua Tov world. We're going to have in mind the Aliyas Neshama of two people, Mordechai Schenkler's mother, Chana Bela Bacho Yisroel, and Akiva Le's father-in-law, Yechiel ben Shmuel Halevi. So, today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Zayin, and we're holding right at the Halakha Mishnah. So, we're raising now a new issue, and that is, we talked about a behemah where no dam is yotze, and whether that is going to be machshir, or whether shechita is machshir. But that brings us to another issue, which is the question of, what about if the animal is actually not healthy and was close to death? And then there may be a question of whether it survived until the end. So just the fact that it didn't bleed, we said before, that doesn't concern us. But this may be a whole different issue. So therefore, says the Gemara, what would actually ensure that an animal is alive at the time of the shechita if it was seriously ill and it was a misukenet? We'll see what defines misukenet later. Ashuchet et ha-misukenet, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, ash tefaches biyad uveregel. So if the animal was a near-death endangered, which again we'll explain later, the only way that you could be certain that the shechita was kosher is if there are still signs of life in the course of the shechita. We'll see exactly where in the course of the shechita, later on in the Gemara. And it has to actually do a pirchus, which is a convulsion, muscular convulsion, or jerk movement, with both a yad, a foreleg, and a regel. If not, you have to be cheshesh that the animal died before the shechita. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, it's not necessary to go that far. Daya im zinka. It's enough if it actually spout out. Zinok is a real shooting of blood, a spraying of blood, and that usually comes together with a lot of blowing that the animal does from inside, with a lot of noise, and that is considered to be itself the equivalent of a pirchus. We don't need a full pirchus. Omer Rabbi Shimon, hashochet balayla. If you did the shechita at night and you weren't able to see whether there was pirchus, ulamachar hishkim, the next morning you wake up in the light, umatsa kitalim meleim dam, and you find the walls, which do not mean the walls of the room in which the shechita took place, we're going to see, it means the walls of the Beit HaShechita, we'll see why, and you find them full of blood, then we know that the animal was kosher because it was alive, because it was zoneket, because clearly we have blood that is all over the Beis HaShechita. And that would be going, of course, Kibidat Rebbe Eliezer, who says it's sufficient if you have zinuk. But the Chachomim disagree, and they say, no, you need to have maybe not as much as Rebbe Eliezer, as Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said, that you need both yad and regel, but you definitely need more than Rebbe Eliezer says. You need, it should be at least tefarches o biyad o beregel. You don't need both a leg and a foreleg. And as a matter of fact, you can use either or even achitrachesh biznava. Not only does it not have to be a leg, it actually, if the tail wags, it's enough to be considered to be a pirchus. And this would be true both of a behema daka and of a behema gasa. But there's a difference between them. Behema daka shepashta yada velo hichzira pisula. If a small animal, so let's say you have a sheep, a goat, that it actually stretches out a hand, but it doesn't retract it, that is not considered to be an actual pirchus. That is considered to be hotzaat nefesh, and therefore it's psula she'ina elo hotzaat nefesh bilvad. That's just simply a death spasm, but not an actual pirchus. That would be a sign that the animal is still living. When do we say all of these things, that we need to have these simonim during the shechita or at the end of the shechita? We'll see at which point we need it. Only where we had a cheskas misukene. If this animal was just like any other animal. We had no reason to believe that it was endangered. If it was Becheskat Briah, so then we don't need any of this, because all of this is just there in order to deal with the fact that we know that the animal is a Mesukenet. But if the animal is not in any way, as far as we could see, a Mesukenet, why would we need rayas that it's alive? Why wouldn't we just assume it's been alive? It has a cheskas chayim, and it retains that chazaka. So, im hayta becheskat b'riah, afilu im bo echad mikol ha-simanim hallelu, kishera. If we don't have any reason to doubt that it's healthy, we don't need any proof that it's healthy. Okay. Now, the question is, why do you think that a mesukenet is mutter? Huh? What do you mean? Why do I think it's mutter? Where do you get the idea that it should be aser? Why, like, what's wrong with a mesukenet? I mean, my tesekat daita dasira. I love the way we start with, like, let's assume everything's aser and then see if we can figure out if it's mutter. Why would it be aser? Ah, because since the Torah, in introducing the dinim of kashrus, it says, zot achaya asher tochelu. So what's this zot achaya? That must mean that it has to be as a chaya. It has to be a living thing. It doesn't mean chaya in the sense of a chaya as opposed to a behima. So why does it use the word chaya? Because it lists both chaya and behima. So it just says, zot asher tochelu. But the point is that it's mashma that only if it is chaya, that is, that it's exhibiting signs of vitality, so then you can eat it. But she'ena chaya lo tocha. If it doesn't exhibit those signs, and a misukenet is close to death, so you can't call that full of vitality. It's certainly not going to live for long, so a misukenet ena chaya. So doesn't that mean that you shouldn't be allowed to eat a misukenet at all? Forget about the question about whether it dies b'shchita. The question was whether it's mutter, because maybe, look, we know that there are definitely dinim that we need to have healthy animals. I mean, there's dinim of treifas and so on. So maybe a misukenet is itself considered to be usher because of zot achaya. Well, if that were the case, then why would the Torah have to say that you're not allowed to eat an avela? I mean, obviously, if it's alive, then it's mutter. Because Isaac, if you're going to tell me that even if it's close to death, it's already usher. So, I mean, Hashemichayim Asira, what you're going to think that maybe became mutter after it died? I mean, what would possibly have been mutter? So if there's like this new Isra of Nevela, it's clear that that was the point at which it became usher. And if it was only a misukenet, that at that point, it was still mutter. Well, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, dilma hainu nevela hainu misukenet. Couldn't nevela just mean like a death or close to death animal? Does nevela have to mean that its mom is dead? Oh, yes, it does. Take a look at the pasuk. V'chi yomut min ha-behema she'i lachem lo'ochlan o'gea b'nivlata, etc., etc. What defines the status of a nevela? V'chi yomut. So don't give me that. A nevela is a dead animal, not a living animal. So if that's the case, then don't try to tell me nevela is the Yisra Misukenet. So li'achar mita hu dikar yirachman a nevela, but mechayim lo ikra nevela, no such thing. Okay, fine. You know what? It could very well be that there certainly is an iser of eating the misukenet while it's alive. And the meaning of a nevela is an animal that first was sick, was close to death, it became usher before it died, and it still needs to tell me an additional iser of nevela, because before it dies, it's called only a mesukenet, and you're only going to be over the mitzvah asay of zota chaya, which is mashma, only eat chaya, and not lo chaya, and that's a lava b'michlal asay, and a lava b'michlal asay is only a chiyav asay. But when it actually goes and dies and completes this mesukenet to the point where it's actually dead, so at that point, it would actually be a lotaseh. And maybe that's the point. So if it's alive, so then it misukenet mechayim, it would only be a mitzvah asay of zot achaya. Liachar mita, then becomes a lav in, as we pointed out before, nevela tochoch lo tochav, that indeed is only where it's actually dead. Well, I'll tell you. Okay. You could get away with saying that, but then how do you explain the fact that the Torah said shreifa lo tochav? If the only thing that is usher to eat is something that was affected as an actual shreifa, so it would have needed to be affected in terms of something happening physically to one of its organs. And otherwise, mashma, that there isn't this iser. So if it's only a treifa, then a misukenet should be mutter. Because isar k'taydach a misukenet asira, if just the fact that the animal is not doing well, but there's no particular organic failure that we can identify that an organ has been affected, there's a hole through the lungs or through the intestines or anything like that. So if just a misukenet is asira, so if there's additional evidence of organic failure because of some physical thing that we actually see is wrong, so for sure a treifa would be asir, wouldn't it? Well, maybe the point is the same sort of idea that we said before. Maybe a treifa is a misukenet, and it's coming to tell me that there is not only the essay of the lava b'michlal asay, which is the chaya echol, but don't eat a lo chaya. There's also this additional lotase, because we call the treifa a misukenet, and that way you would be over both on an asay and on an lotase. Wait a minute. So then if that's the case, then there's already a lota asan and a sukenet. So then why would we need nevela? I mean, before we said that we need nevela because that's going to add a lota asan, right? But now you're telling me the misukenet is anyway going to have an iser lota asan because it's basically a form of treifa. So then what is the nevela there for? I mean, isn't it obvious? If there's already an asan, so nevela and a lota asan, the kazrak one alomali. Umame chayim, if while it's still alive, you're saying you're already going to be over on a lav and an asay, so leachar mita mi boy, of course there's going to be a lot asay after the death, and then we give it the additional label of nevela. Okay, fine, but I mean, does that necessarily mean that it has to be kosher when it's alive and there's what seems to be an iser of zotachaya? Maybe. The death adds an additional answer. It could be. I mean, so Dilma Heiner Nevela, Heiner Trefa, Heiner Mesukenet, and this way, after it dies, you'll be over. Shnei Lavim Vyase. And this is not persuasive to me. The fact is that the Torah does add, in many places, additional Isurim, repeats an Isur several times. So please mute. Repeats an Isur several times, and therefore, is anybody getting this noise on the internet?
No, it's Naftali. Naftali.
I see Naftali is muted.
It was not Naftali. The person dealt with it. We're good to go.
All right. So now, if that's the case, then we have to find some other basis for how we know that the misukenet is actually kosher. Let's take a look at this right. Elamihocha. We have a very strange pasuk that tells us that chelev nevela v'chelev treifa yaseh l'chol melacha v'achol lo tochluhu. Now, there is an iser chelev in the Torah that has nothing to do with nevela or treifa, right? So what would be the point of talking about the chelev of a nevela and a chelev of treifa? You're not allowed to eat it. Obviously, you're not allowed to eat it. It's treifa, even if it were, or nevela. I mean, even if it would be from a perfectly kosher animal, it would still be usher to eat the chelev. So why repeat not eating it in the event that it's a nevela or a treifa? That doesn't make any sense. So v'yomar mar l'may hilchita amra Torah, why did the Torah state something that didn't need to be said? Ah, because it's coming to tell me that there will be an iser nevela on the chelev of a nevela, and there will be an iser treifa on the chelev of a treifa, besides the iser chelev. You might have thought that ein iser chal al iser, So if there's already an Isser on it, Bitam v'chelev, before it became a trefa, before it became an avela, now that it becomes a trefa or an avela, then you can't add an additional Isser. Comes along the Torah to say that even though normally it could be that ein Isser chalal Isser, but in this case, dafka by the case of devela v'trefa, the Isser chelev is there, and another Isser goes on top of it when it becomes a nevela. So the nevela should be chal on the Isser chelev, and the trefa should be chal on the Isser chelev, and that's what it's coming from. Okay, so what does that have to do with us? I'll tell you. Because if you're going to tell me that a trefa, the way you suggest it, the only way that we got out of the problem of, well, what do we need trefa for? So you suggested that trefa essentially is a misukenet. So then all we would have needed to do is to write in the pasuk, lichtav rachmana chelev nevela ye'aseh l'chol melacha. That would come to tell me that there would be no din of tuma on the chelev of a nevela. You don't have to talk about the din of not eating it by the chelev of the trefa. There, on that alone, you could say that the chelev trefa lo tochlu, and from there I would know that it's going to be an iser chalal iser, and it would be rather obvious, wouldn't it, that I would say, look, if even mechayim, the fact that it was a mesukenet, was enough to aser it again as chelev plus trefas. So certainly, li'achar misa, remember, we're viewing this now as a tripod iser, so to speak. It begins with misukenet, continues on with tarfas, and then becomes even a double love with an avela. So fine. So all you have to tell me is that that first stage of this tarfas, which added the love and is chal on every misukenet, that there it would be an Isser Chelev plus the Isser Misukenet. I don't need to know that the Chelev of the Nevela is going to also be Osir. Of course it will be. That's the last stage of this whole process of being Osir through not being completely alive and being close to death and actually dying, right? Of course I need to mention the Nevela. I need to mention the nevela because I need to know that there's no din of a nevela vis-a-vis tumah v'tayra on it. But I don't need to say that it should not be eaten. All you need to say is, ye'aseh l'chol melacha. That part is, you can use it for whatever you need, even something that you would need to keep tahar, you could use this for. So that tells me that it's tahar. And then add the chelev trefa, l'chol lo tochlu. And that's perfect. That way we have everything in place. So I would figure out myself, you know, if mechayim asi yisr trefa chayal or yisr chelev, so certainly le'achar misa, me boy. Since the Torah had to write about a nevela and a trefa, both of them, so mida kasav rachmana nevela, so then obviously trefa that had to be written separately could not be misukenet because then every nevela would have been included in the fact that an animal is obviously misukenet before it dies. Matkiflomar bar Ravashi. Now, maybe it ain't necessarily so. Because, look, even if trefa is a misukenet, and you're telling me, well every animal is going to be misukenet before it dies, that's not true. Didn't we have, like, a couple of crazy cases where we said that something becomes an avela mechayim? So we said before, remember, asagis terah, you got Alon doing one of his fancy sword tricks, and the sword goes straight through the animal in one shot, cuts it into two pieces, and what's the din over there? That it becomes an avela instantly. So it was never Mr. Kenneth. So we need the pasuk to tell that an avela that doesn't go through a process of dying, but is turned into an avela in a moment. For instance, Eichin Dami, Shasa Gistra. So maybe we need to know that even that kind of avela, which was not part of this process of dying, would be chal, even on the din of Chelev that was already there, and we would say, Iser chal al Iser. So that would explain why we need both avela and trefa. Nah, I mean, look, even in that case, I mean, even if you got a loan doing fancy sword stuff, it's still not instantaneous, is it? I mean, he didn't get that kind of diploma I didn't see on the wall. What's that called? Instant. It's still a process you got to cut through. So before you get to the point where it's Rove, so let's say it's only a tenth of a second. But the point is, it would be Mizukenit before that tenth of a second. And therefore, you would never get out of the fact that a dead animal was at one instant a Mizukenit before it died, no? Anyway, that's one approach. Well, you know what? I'll tell you something else. Maybe not. Maybe from just the fact that there's this, what we want to consider to be a three-pronged, you know, death sentence over here. We can't prove anything. But there's another thing we could be Doresh from this very same pasuk. Forget about my answering you about why it would be necessary to write Chelev Nevela. That's not the point, okay? I'm not interested in arguing about whether it would become a Sukkot before or not. There's a drasha here. Just coincidentally, by the way, it has nothing to do with what we were saying until now. There is a drasha here in the nature of this pasuk itself that tells me that a Mizukenet is okay. What's that? Because, look, why did the Torah repeat the word chelev? Why not just say, forget about your other issue. Couldn't you say chelev nevela vitrefa, right? And acholo tochluhu. Wouldn't that be enough? Say chelev nevela vitrefa ye'asel achol melacha and acholo tochluhu. So what's this repetitive chelev that I need to quote twice, chelev, chelev? So chelev, chelev, lomeli. I'm telling you, this, it just so happens we stumbled on this because we used the pasuk wrongly initially. I forget about all of that stuff. But the fact is, it does say chelev twice. And I say, you know what it's coming to tell me? It's coming to tell me that there's another chelev that we're being meramis to. And that is, Zohi she'en chelba chaluk mipsara. Yes, there is, in fact, this particular case where it's telling me that it's this trefa that we're talking about where the chelev is not really different than its meat because the meat was usher when it was alive the same way that the chelev was usher when it was alive, right? But there's another chelev. Another chelev that I need to know about. And what is that other chelev? Yesh lecha chelev acheret shelcha b'chaluk mizbisara. There is a chelev where the animal's meat was kosher and the chelev was aser. And what would that be? It's just a chiddush b'alma. There is a concept of a mesukenet, and there it's only the chelev that was aser, and there is no din of the equivalent of nevela v'trefa. That's the whole point. So chelev nevela v'trefa would have told me nothing about a mesukenet. But if you're stressing, now wait a minute, we got two very concrete examples of an animal, which is usher, and that isser adds another isser to its chelev. But there's another chelev where there would be no additional isser on the chelev. What would that be? Could only be a mesukenet. And it's coming to tell me, therefore, that the mesukenet is kshera without any connection to the drush we had before. It's very confusing because it sounds like we're trying to answer the previous drush, but we're not. We stumbled on something in the context of discovery about the dinim of this supposed three-stage mesukenet trefa and nevela.
While we were chewing the fat.
Boy, oh boy. In another minute, we're going to have Mo Willie coming in, so we better continue fast. Okay, so he buys Ema, or take a look at this. This is a curious thing. Mihacha, look at this. Yechezkel is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to bring out the Klal Yisrael, the horrific situation that they are in, and the level of tuma and filth that they're living in. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them to take this disgusting bread that you make in a sickening way, and it's like barley that isn't properly processed, it's very difficult to digest, and then bake it with human excrement in front of their eyes, just to be disgusting, and let everybody see it. And that's what you got to eat. So Yechezkel responds by saying, Va'omar, Ahei Hashem Elokim, don't ask me to do such a thing. Hinei nafshi lo metuma, I've been such a good boy my whole life. I never was metame my nefesh. I never ate nevela v'treifa from when I was a kid until today. So what does that mean? I mean, obviously, any normal Jew would say the same thing. It wasn't Yecheskel saying, oh, I'm such a good boy. How can you tell me to do something like this? I mean, everybody's a good boy. And you can't find anybody in shul that's been eating the velas and treifas and buser pigel and what. Like, what in the world is he trying to say? So let's analyze what he really means. He's obviously extending. He's saying, I've been exceedingly careful, and I'm calling things that are perfectly kosher things that are not kosher. So starting from the beginning, he said, nafshi lo metuma. What does that mean? So I never fantasized. So Tosus asks, what do you mean? But nobody's allowed to fantasize. Yeah, but everybody does. So that's the point, because the shlosha dvarim that ein adam nitzameh b'chol yom, and one of them is hirurei avera. That's the way Tosus answers it. There's some want to answer it, which doesn't fit into the sugya so well, that what he was saying was that he was so metire as not, in other words, this idea is extended tyra, in the sense that he was never roya keri because he was so metire as nafsho, which is not the pashtus of it, but anyway, but Tosis makes perfectly good sense too. And what does it mean when he says that nevela v'treifa lo achalti minurai? It means shelo achalti basar kos kos meolam. I never ate from something where people were shouting, shecht, shecht it already before it drops dead, shecht it. So I never ate a misukenet. Oh, ho, ho, ho. So if he's going huffing and puffing about how wonderful I am that I never ate a misukenet, so obviously the misukenet is kosher, because if a misukenet wouldn't be kosher, like, well, what's the big deal? Nobody eats unkosher, right? So that would be the raya. That means shalachalti mi behimash or rabba chacham. I never ate from something that they had a shayla. They had to go ask a chacham, is this kosher? Is this a treif? I wouldn't touch the meat anyway. Mishum Rabbi Natan Amru, what it means is, I never ate from a behima that they didn't take off the zroa lechayayim vekeva. So shalahurmu matanotea, even though that doesn't asur the behima, but even that's a machlokas, but so fine, he could hold the other pshat, kos kos. So I never ate from Urmu Matnotel. So Yamit Bishlema, Shar, yes, if you're going to tell me that Mr. Kenneth is actually kosher, so fine, that would be what Yecheskel is saying. He's special about Haini Rabute de Yecheskel. If you're going to tell me that Mr. Kenneth is usher, so what's the big deal that Yecheskel is saying, I never ate Mr. Kenneth, neither did anybody else in your minion. So my Rabute de Yecheskel. So clearly, we now have two indications. One, from the fact that it says the chelev twice, and one from the remez in Yecheskel. Now that we're taking for granted that the misukenet is kosher, we really ought to define what is a misukenet that would require these simonim, the machlokas, what they are, but some simon, whether it would be zinuk or whether it would be pirchus or kishkesh bisnava, whatever the din is, what defines an animal that has to prove that it's alive, so to speak? The indication of a misukenet is that the animal simply cannot keep itself up. You even lift it up so it doesn't have to exert its muscles to get up, and it falls right down again. Rabbi Chanina bar Shamya Mishmeid Rav Amar, this is true no matter how powerful the animal is in other ways. It may maintain enough energy in its jaws that it can cut right through a log with its teeth. Afilo chelet bakayot. Rami bar Cheskel says even if it ate korot, it's just, that's what we mean. We don't mean like just a small piece of wood. We mean it cuts through even a roof beam. That's why they said it over in Surah. In Pumbedisa, they said that it was Rabbi Yehuda Amarav himself that said that even if it's Ochelet Bakayot. So their version of it was, Pumbedita Matnehochi, Echadami Misukenet, Om Rabbi Yehuda Amarav Koshim Abidim Otave Eno Omedet Ve'afil Ochelet Bakayot, and it did not need Rabbi Chanina Barshamia to add those words, but rather Rav was quoted as having said those words himself. Rami Bar Yecheskel Amar, what that means is Afilo Ochelet Korot. So this gives us an introduction into the sugya of Mesukenet. We now know that Mesukenet is Muteret. We still don't know exactly where these simonim, that it's still alive, have to show up in the process of Shita. That, Bezrat Hashem, we will learn tomorrow. And meanwhile, I'm wishing all of you a Shavua Tov and Bezras Hashem some better news and Bnei El Yeshuati, meanwhile, Eftach Velo Efchad, and reminding you that this was all Alias Nishmas, Chana Bela Bat Shaul, and Yechiel Ben Shmuel Halevi, in order that was Mordechai Schenkler's mother's yard site, and Akiva's father-in-law's yard site. See you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow morning. Kol Tuf.